Hi, friends. This is The Path to Joy, and I'm your host, Melissa Bloom. I'm currently in Austria, day three of a week-long trip that is a celebration for the twins' B'nai Mitzvah. So yes, I'm writing when I could be out skiing. I'll get to that part. But I'm sitting in the most beautiful room, bright, lots of natural wood and light, with a view of the snow-capped Alps, probably the nicest place I've ever written. When we got into this room, Ben, the editor of this podcast, said, "Mom, I love this room. This is what I want my house to look like." Yeah, it's pretty good taste. But I'm going to back up. I want to share a few stories from the first part of the trip, and then I'll have an episode on Thursday with stories from the second part of the trip. You know there'll be a part deux in the title. I've mentioned that Andy, my husband, is a bit of a planner. Well, he was in charge of this trip, and he felt a lot of pressure. He doesn't usually plan our family trips, and he wanted to make sure everything was going to work out. I kept telling him it would be great, but I could see the gears churning all of the time. He spent quite a bit of time measuring suitcases with a measuring tape and backpacks, standing on the scale with every piece of luggage to make sure it wasn't over the baggage allowance. I brought a small Tupperware of laundry detergent because I knew there'd be lots of sweaty long underwear to wash every evening. And he double-wrapped it in electrical tape just to make sure it wouldn't open in our suitcase. It was a homage to my electrical tape-loving Grandpa Julie. Then, the day of our flight was constant heavy rain. He was worried the flight would be late and we'd miss our bus to this small Austrian ski town that we're now in, Steuben. Lots and lots of worry. I know. Can you feel all that worry? Well, this was a big trip. It was a trip of a lifetime. My in-laws were meeting us in Zurich, and there would probably never be three generations on this mountain again. So I had to quiet down all the worry energy swirling around me, and thank goodness for my friend Kara's words. What if it all worked out? There's an episode with that title from early April. That question was buzzing around in my head. I just kept thinking to myself, what if it all worked out? There was traffic and flooding driving up to JFK. What if it all worked out? The flight could be really delayed and we missed this bus that's only offered a couple times a day. What if it all worked out? I just kept repeating it in my head. So we arrive, and guess what? Everything worked out. So let's get to the first day of skiing. I mentioned that I'm a fairly mediocre skier. I don't really enjoy it at all, but I push myself the last few winters to go a few times because I knew this trip was coming and I wanted to give it a try. I was not going to fly all the way to the Alps to read for a week, although that does sound lovely. And I'm currently on book 6 of 8 of the Bridgerton series, which I have to say goes down like water. Oddly enough, yesterday, our first ski day, I was pretty relaxed. We got up, we got breakfast. I'm not sure why I was so relaxed. I put my ski stuff on. I hiked with my boots and skis up to the gondola, which is a small 8-seater tram that takes you up 8,000 feet in minutes. And I just started skiing. I had never skied so long continuously. There were some steep patches, moguls that I had to ski around. I kind of can't believe it. That first run, I did it. We stopped a lot because I'm slower than the rest of the group, so they would ski and then wait for me. But no one seemed to mind. or as Josh has revised his statement, nobody seemed to mind too much. They would just lay back in the deep snow on the sides of the trail and relax while they waited for me. And Josh proclaimed that this was the best day of his life. I got down to the bottom and I was fine. It took about an hour, but I felt good about it. And then I went back up for trip number two. And I'm not sure what happened. My father-in-law wanted me to try a steep but wide route that would actually be quicker and avoid a steep, narrow pass that I had done the first run. And I got a few feet down and I just froze. Fear is funny that way. It was a complete physiological reaction. I could feel everything change. My body was so tense, I couldn't move. I tried some breathing exercises right there in the middle of the slope. I guess that's how you can spot a yogi on a ski slope. But I could not seem to quell the fear. And in truth, a reaction like that can take 20 minutes or more to revert back to baseline, right? All these hormones surge during a fear, a fight or flight reaction, and it really does take time for them to calm back down. So in retrospect, maybe I should have just sat and waited it out just to press reset. But hindsight is always 20/20, right? So there I am, paralyzed with fear, roughly 8,000 feet up, and I decide to hike a bit up to get back on the first trail that I had gone down. But the whole experience was just different. I couldn't move. I was gripped with fear the whole time. A couple times I stood in one place so long, I just asked my father-in-law or Andy to take my skis and I walked down in my boots. And no one walks down in their boots. I had an Austrian woman tell me, "You can't walk down in your boots. You need to put your skis on." Like I hadn't realized that that was the best way to get down the mountain. It took about 2 hours to get down because I walked and froze most of the way. I mean, it's 8,000 feet. For reference, a couple days later, Andy did a bunch of runs on his own, and he wasn't rushing, just enjoying the skiing. And he timed one run that took me 2 hours walking down. He clocked in at 6.5 minutes. So along the way, I cried. I asked for ski patrol to come get me. And I just kept apologizing. Isn't it funny how we keep apologizing? Even as I was doing it, I thought, "Melissa, why are you apologizing so much? You're literally doing the very best you can. Why are you apologizing for fear?" And the reaction from the crew, my crew, was pretty sweet. They lapped me a couple times, but they kept hugging me and telling me what a great job I was doing. And I knew this trip was a very big deal for Andy. And as he walked me back to the hotel after I finally walked that last few feet down, I felt like I had disappointed him. And I can't say Andy's the kind of guy who always knows the right thing to say. He's an absolute gem, but comfort isn't usually his strong suit. And I think he would agree. I'm not throwing him under the bus. But at that moment, when I'm walking down in my boots and he accompanied me the whole way, he said the perfect thing to me. He said, "You know, Melissa, there are many people who will say they aren't skiers and they'd never come on a trip like this. But you taught yourself how to ski just to make this happen for your boys. And you got on the gondola and you skied so you could be with them. You always tell me it's the intention and not the outcome that matters. You didn't say, 'I'm not a skier, so I can't go.' You did it." That was very nice. Thank you, Andy. So I'm proud of myself. I'm proud I got up there and I tried. I have a much greater appreciation for fear. As a physiological reaction, fear is no joke. It completely alters your biological systems. And fear is kind of like pain. It's very hard to put yourself in someone's shoes and know what they're feeling in that moment. You can try, but even if you've experienced extreme fear in the past, it's hard to remember what that physiological reaction is like, how paralyzing and overwhelming it is. It's kind of like childbirth. We can forget how all-encompassing it is when we aren't right there in that moment. So will I get back on the mountain this trip? I'm not sure. I'd like to. I love how much the twins want me there. And I do have a different appreciation for fear. And that's not a bad thing. So we'll see. You'll have to listen on Thursday to find out. Thank you to my editor, Ben Kish. And thanks so much for listening, friends. Join me again every Tuesday and Thursday on your favorite podcast app for more episodes of The Path to Joy. Enjoy the journey.